Our scripture reading this morning is from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And Levi got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. Then Levi gave a great banquet for Jesus in his house. And there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to Jesus' disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
So one of the interesting things about the internet and all the things on there is there's a whole bunch of new words and terms that I oftentimes don't know what mean. And one of those is the word meme. I assume you've heard the word meme. If you haven't heard it, I bet you've seen memes, I think. So when you don't know what a word means, you go and you look it up. So, and you go to the internet, of course. So on the internet, on Wikipedia, the word meme, M-E-M-E, is defined as an idea, behavior, or style that becomes a fad and spreads by means of imitation from person to person within a culture and often carries symbolic meaning representing a particular phenomenon or theme. I did not find that very helpful. All I know for sure is when I think of the word meme, I think of kind of funny pictures of things. And one particular meme has been making its rounds, and I have seen a whole bunch of these memes, and if you ever are on Facebook, I'm guessing you have too. And the meme I am talking about is Bernie Sanders sitting at the inauguration. He's sitting in a folded chair. He's kind of all by himself, like everyone was because of social distancing, and his legs are crossed and his arms are crossed and he's got a mask on, and most importantly, he's wearing these huge pair of mittens. We have some pictures here. So there you are, hopefully seeing the picture of Bernie at the inauguration with his mittens on. So that simple picture has become a meme because it's been inserted into other settings. So next, I think you're going to see a picture of Bernie as a Packers fan, sitting there with a cheese head on his head. And then there's a meme of Bernie Sanders hanging out with the Golden Girls. And there's another one now at Bernie at Hogwarts, for those of you who are Harry Potter fans. And then to go back into history, we have Bernie sitting up there with the iron workers building the skyscrapers. So those are a number of the memes. There's a whole bunch more, but also one other one came that I thought was interesting, and also it came from a Lutheran pastor. So it's this one. It's this picture of Bernie Sanders in his mittens at the Last Supper. Now, I apologize if you find that sacrilegious. I don't think it was meant to be. It's just a funny meme. So those are images that are on my Facebook whenever I go there. And I, once again, you just see all kinds of those images. But there's some other images that we've seen as well that aren't at all funny. And the one specific image I'm talking about, we're not going to put up, but it's the image of the the rioter, the insurrectionist, sitting at the desk of the Speaker of the House with one of his feet up on the desk. I assume you know what picture I'm talking about. I have no idea if this has become a meme in the sense that it's been inserted into other photos, and I'm not encouraging anyone to do that, and please don't send me them. It's just one of those images that kind of sticks out in my mind as I think back over the last few weeks. It's like all those Bernie memes. It's just images in my head. As I was wrestling with this text this week, this story of Jesus calling Levi the tax collector and then going to his house for a banquet that Levi is throwing for Jesus and other tax collectors and sinners are invited, as I wrestled with this story, some of these images came to mind. Specifically the image of Bernie at the Last Supper and the insurrectionist with his foot up on the desk. You see, if I were to choose some images, some pictures to help illustrate the story of Levi the tax collector as a follower of Jesus, and specifically if I were to pick an image of what this banquet was like, where the Pharisees get very upset with Jesus, I very well might use that picture of that insurrectionist sitting at the banquet table next to Jesus with his foot up on the table. Now, tax collectors in Jesus' day I don't think they were exactly insurrectionists, but I think maybe they were even worse, because they weren't working to overthrow the government. The government had already been overthrown. Rome was in charge. Tax collectors were Jewish people that the Romans hired to collect their taxes. And so tax collectors were literally working for the enemy. And not only that, they often got rich by doing it because they could overtax their fellow citizens. And that's why the phrase tax collectors and sinners is just this New Testament phrase. It's if you want to think of like the worst possible sinner, tax collectors were right up there. And so in our story today, a story that I think we've heard it enough that it just doesn't really shock us anymore, but it's to one of these hated and despised sinners, Levi the tax collector, while he's literally in his tax booth. So there's no denying that Jesus doesn't know exactly what this guy is. Jesus calls him to be a disciple. And then, not only that, but then goes to this banquet in Jesus' honors. Jesus' honor that is filled with other tax collectors and sinners. Now, I think it's important to keep in mind when Jesus is, well, he's not asked about it, his disciples are, but Jesus answers the Pharisees directly. When he describes what he's doing, he makes it clear to say, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So Jesus, by this act of calling Levi and eating with him, Jesus has an ultimate goal in mind, which is that Levi and these other tax collectors would repent, would turn their life around. But it's still troubling, isn't it? I mean, it was troubling to those Pharisees, and I think if we're honest with ourselves, it's troubling to us. It would have been one thing if Jesus would have came into town and saw Levi at the tax booth and said, "Hey, Levi, you want to be my disciple? Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to go with my other disciples, and we're going to go around and visit some nearby towns, and we'll be back in about a week. And then I'm going to ask around. And if you straightened your life out, if you repented, then you can come be my disciple." You see, that would, I think, make it easier for us. The idea that when you repent, then you are accepted and welcomed and part of the in crowd. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus puts no stipulations on Levi becoming his disciple. He simply says, "Follow me." And Levi does. And then Jesus goes to the banquet. Again, if we're honest with ourselves, that should be offensive. And if you're having a hard time with that, once again, I want you to picture that insurrectionist with his foot up on the desk, sitting next to Jesus at that banquet. In confirmation this past Wednesday, trying to help our youth get a sense of what it means to be a part of the Christian story, the Christian narrative, I told them two very familiar biblical stories, the story of both parables, the parable of the Good Samaritan and the parable of the prodigal son. And after I told them the parables, I asked the question, "So who in that story would you like to be like? Who in that story would you want to emulate?" So in the story of the Good Samaritan, do you want to be like one of those two religious people who, upon seeing this man beaten and bloodied, lying by the road next to death, and then you just walk around? You're just too busy or too important or whatever. You just want to ignore that? Or would you rather be like the Good Samaritan who stops to help a complete stranger, who uses his own resources to bind up and care for this total stranger? Who would you want to be in that story? Who do you want to emulate? And then in the story of the prodigal son, you know, it told the story, and then at the end, who do you want to emulate? Who do you want to be like? You want to be like the older brother who is so mad at his bratty brother and his forgiving father that he refuses to go into the party? Do you want to be that one that holds the grudge, who says it's not fair? Or do you want to be the father? Do you want to be like that father who, even though he's been wronged, would rather forgive and celebrate his son coming home? And thankfully, in both of those instances, the youth said they wanted to be more like the Good Samaritan, and they wanted to be more like that forgiving, accepting father. That's the story that I want to be a part of. And if I'm part of that story, that's the characters I want to be like. But what about this story this morning? This story of the despicable tax collector who has been stealing from his own people and helping the enemy at the same time, who Jesus invites to be a disciple without any preconditions. Who do you want to be like in this story? Do you want to be like the Pharisees and the scribes who look at this banquet and see this despicable person with his feet up on the table sitting next to Jesus and say, that's too far? That kind of forgiveness and grace is too much. Or do you want to be like Jesus, sitting next to that guy with his feet up on the table, disrespecting so many of the things that you value? Who do you want to be like? Amen.